Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 21 of The Naughty Step, the parenting podcast for parenting people, starring writer and patriarch, Stu Teritage!
And writer and matriarch, Robin Wilder!
If you haven't heard this before, we're married, we have two kids, and we're knackered. So for the next 25 minutes, we're going to swear at you about parenting.
Today on the show, our first ever guest, it's our friend and neighbour, Rebecca Schiller, author of Your No Guilt Pregnancy Plan, talking to us about bad parenting gifts and birth noises.
Plus, you tell us about the awful things you and your siblings have done to each other.
And we tell you how to win a copy of Rebecca Schiller's book.
Let's go!
Thanks, Weird Mario.
Silence. How are you, Stuart?
I am very sleepy, to the point of, like, constant dizziness.
Oh, maybe you should have, like, a 20-minute nap.
Maybe I should. Now?
Sure, go. I'll carry it. How are you, Stuart? Oh, I'm fine. I walk a lot. And I like eating grapefruit.
That's all you could think about.
There's
the
two
things.
You walk and you eat.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't really know you very well.
Clearly not. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. I like grapefruit.
Oh, I took my family to the Horniman Museum this weekend. I got married there very long time ago to my current wife. When we were there, I enjoyed some time with my son. We enjoyed pointing out where we got married, and he was not interested. He liked to play with... But we did, we went to the ornament, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, and it was nice.
It was. It was quite hard to explain to our child that all of these animals that you can see behind the glass are dead.
Yeah, how did you do that?
I just said they're like statues.
Oh, that's clever. They don't need to know. He doesn't need to know yet, does he?
And then there was like this rat that was cut in half, and you could see its skeleton. Mm-hmm. And he went, what's that? I went, that's its bones. It's taken out its bones to show you, Herbie.
No, like, that's a classic thing that you do.
What do I... Just
is
whimsy.
You over-explain.
Do I?
He's taken out his bones. Just say, it's his bones. Don't say... You don't need to explain that he's removed his own bones from his body. That doesn't make any sense.
Is that why do you think he's not sleeping very well?
Maybe. He's not sleeping well because he's potty training. And yep. I think the whole... world has just become so full of information that he can't sleep at night.
Yes. Every time he does a wee, he gets a sweet. Wasn't very hungry this morning for breakfast. Cause,
weird that, because yeah. His tummy's full of gelatin.
Gelatin and no urine, though. All right, so in a minute you're going to hear us talk to Rebecca Schiller. We might sound slightly nervous, and that's because we don't know how to talk to humans.
Correct.
So, Rebecca Schiller is a writer.
Yes. Ish.
Yes.
Sometimes.
A doula occasionally.
Yep.
The CEO of the charity Birthrights.
Yes.
Bitcoin millionaire.
No.
Co-founder of Facebook.
Yep.
Yep.
That was me, sorry.
So it's you.
You can tell by my cold, dead eyes. Not on the podcast,
no.
Unfortunately.
Our neighbour, in a way.
In, no, I mean,
Well, you live 15...
If we had to put a mile value on it.
Yeah.
Okay. 10, 15, 12?
How about if you're some of the nicest people I know within a 12-mile radius?
Oh, that's nice. You
know. That's some.
So, well, I was going to say the nicest, and then I realised that some of my friends in the village might be listening. And they would, you know, stop inviting me round to drink wine at their houses and picking my children up from school when they couldn't make it. So I like them not just for that, obviously, but also for that.
Anyway, Rebecca is here, partly because she didn't have anything else to do today. And also because she has written a book called Your No Guilt Pregnancy Plan. The best way that I can describe this book is how I have described it on the inside of the front cover of the book. Which is to say, this book is wonderful, beautifully written, warm and full of compassion and wisdom. I can't think of a panicky question I had thought of through either of my pregnancies, and I thought of them at a rate of 5 per second that wouldn't have been answered by this book. I wish I had had it, in fact. A very empowering guide to becoming a mother. I loved it. Robin Wilder.
Long.
Yeah, and it's about things that you need to know when you're pregnant and when you give birth.
Yeah, especially things that nobody ever... tells you.
Yes.
Like what?
That's a really good question. My mind has just gone completely blank. Oh, so I've got one here. Things like when you are pregnant, everybody's telling you to think about the birth and feeding your baby. Nobody really focuses on the enormous changes that's going to happen to the rest of your life. So particularly, I think, as a mother, that this is going to change... often your relationship with money, your relationship with work, your relationship with your partner, your sex life.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we talk about is that if you have got a partner, you've probably parented quite differently. One of you might have been parented by incredibly strict people and the other of you grew up on a commune. And that's maybe it would be a good idea to talk about that because one of you is like, hey, let's all just run around, no rules, you know, anything goes. And the other one's like, you know, bedtime at 6:14 p.m. every night.
Get in the cupboard. You
know, so just have that chat beforehand when you're less tired and are less likely to kill each other.
Why don't we have a cupboard? That's when you hear that at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's not what you want to deal with.
Put the baby in the cupboard. It's not my advice. No. It's anywhere in the book.
What's the bad parenting advice that you have heard or been offered or maybe given yourself?
My favourite one is how it's really important not to get stressed when you're pregnant.
Right.
I love this. So apparently if you get stressed when you're pregnant, it has a detrimental effect on your fetus.
Really?
It could affect them for the rest of their lives. But also it's very important when you're pregnant to only eat certain things, which change on a daily basis, and not drink certain things, which changes on a daily basis, and to get the right amount of exercise and either lose, gain, or maintain the right amount of weight. And, according to a recent report, not use non-stick pans.
What?
So how you're supposed to eat the right amount of food, you're just going to gnaw on raw things if you happen to have non-stick pans.
Is that why our kids are like what they're like?
it's the test.
Oh, no.
It's because we don't have the full Lucrece set.
Yeah, but don't get stressed about it.
No.
That would be bad for the baby.
For the fetus.
So we'll just give you all this really stress-inducing information. Yeah. And the last one it's really important not to worry about any of these really anxiety-inducing things. Because if you do worry about them, that will give you something else to worry about.
Oh,
that's my favourite one.
No stress. One of my favourite things about giving birth as a two-time veteran now is that when you're in the middle of it and it's all hard and then someone pokes their head around the door and goes, have you filled in your dinner order? Do you want dinner? Or and then they still stay there and you're like, until you go, no, now thanks, bye.
You nearly did birth noises there, and that is one of my favourite things
really?
To do with doula clients is practice birth noises, so that partners aren't freaked out by the weird sounds that might be made. So you can sit around and do some like pushing noises.
I think you should do this now.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to have another baby, and it could result in a poo if you really. Go very hard.
Are you going to go for it? That hard? Too hard?
Yeah.
Do it.
You are sitting on quite a pale coloured chair, so do be careful.
Okay, but what are
you know the noises though now. So, but listeners of the podcast may not.
Yeah, no, because some of the people who listen aren't parents. It's weird.
That's weird.
Anyway.
Do a birth noise.
Well, so, what's the classic?
Well, the pushing noise. The pushing noise. So, the pushing noise. So if you're having an ordinary contraction, right. You might be making a kind of... any kind of noise from a kind of to an noise, or a nice calm, like yogic hum, maybe even.
A yogic hum? Do people actually do this?
Yeah, so to help you focus on your breathing when it gets hard,
right?
To focus on your breathing, it helps to make a noise. So a kind of noise. But then at some point you start feeling that pressure and it starts to go... That's the pushing noise.
Yeah. Oh.
And that can be quite a scary noise if you haven't heard that before. And you're like, oh, is my wife, is my partner about to explode? From right. But that's the kind of good noise. They're like, you've just become bovine.
It is. It's very mooey,
noise.
Isn't it?
It's very mooey noise. And I do get a bit sometimes like, don't make a noise. Just put all the energy into the pushing. It's like, well, they don't sell it to tennis players, do they? They're all there, you know, with their 100, however many miles, they're going, oh! Every time they have to hit the ball. I think if you're going to push an actual human out, like a real human being, you should be allowed to make a noise.
The first time I went into the labour ward to have a look around when was having Herbie, but it was deathly quiet, and then I just heard a noise in the distance.
Enough away to sound haunted, wasn't it? Yeah. It wasn't like just agonised haunted noises.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't tell which direction it was coming from and it echoed slightly.
Yeah.
And either there's a ghost of a cow or someone's giving birth and I don't like how that sounds and I don't want to be here and I'm not going to have a baby today. So I didn't do any antenatal stuff. I wish I had. So I just went into it kind of cold. And what I implemented for my birth noises mainly was just swearing.
Yeah.
And then apologising. And then with Ned, because it was very fast labour, and when they were measuring me and stuff, I was in quite deep contractions.
Yeah.
And I was just going, fuck! Oh, shit!
You sound like a sort of, like... angry, frightened farmer.
Yes, I think I had a bit of a salty sea dog going. fuck. What sort of useless advice have you got as a dad?
Well,
or just as a parent?
No, the worst stuff was when you were pregnant, because it's not even advice, it's people just trying to find things to tell you.
Yes.
Because
they're trying to
need to be involved in any of it at all. I could have got you pregnant, disappeared, and then said hello to the kid. I had no purpose whatsoever during the pregnancy. And I downloaded a bunch of apps that were just full of... it was a day-by-day throughout the pregnancy dad app reminding you to do things. And it was like, day one, buy a car seat. Day two,
still got that
rent car. A film that she likes. And it just carried on for 9 months. Just, say she looks nice, you can lie if you want. It was just terrible. And it really made me feel very impotent and like I just didn't have any, which I mean I don't mind, but they were trying quite hard, I think.
Wasn't one of them like, have you tried doing the washing up once in a while?
Yeah, have you tried doing anything that a normal human would do?
That's what I really hate the idea that like men need special books and apps.
Yeah.
So I had originally put like a partner's guide into my book.
Oh, really?
And I took it out because I was like, fuck it, they can read the whole book. She's like pregnant for 9 months and she's going to give birth. Like, he can read a book.
Yeah, you don't
need
that. It's
not that, hard. And I remember when I was pregnant, so my daughter is 8.5 now, so it's nearly a decade ago that I was pregnant the first time. And there were all these books available for Jared that presumed that his main concern was not being able to drink as much lager as he could before, and that he might have to go to pub less, and that he might once in a while have to make friends with the Hoover.
There was a lot of that.
It's a pretty low bar.
Yeah,
like,
incredibly.
Really low. Like, you just have to exist and not get drunk every single night, and you've, like, won a bar. Well done, you. If you don't tip beer on the baby within its first 3 days, you're, like, father of the year. No! Like, just be better.
They're all, my agent, my literary agent, as always says, because I was talking about maybe writing some sort of dad-based book, and he went, that will just be a mother's book with the word mate at the end of every third sentence.
Yeah.
And because that's kind of what it is now. There are nappy bags and things that are made from military-grade material that men have. Literally, like, we've got tactical material that they use on tanks, and now you can go out with your kids with it.
Here's your night vision goggles. Yeah.
It's so like brittle. Feet. It's so, yeah.
That's another thing that I hate, our products in general that are designed. So every car seat, we've now bought a lot of car seats. Oh, yes. And you may not have this problem quite so much, not being so drivey, or drivey in any way. but I can't find any that work. Like, they work as in they probably keep the child safe in event of a crash, but it's almost impossible to get them into the car and out of the car without spending a lot of time and energy swearing at each other. I actually injured myself 2 months ago swapping car seats from one hot car at a motorway service station where I was handing over with my parents. I managed to, like, it was so difficult to push the things into the Isofix, which is sold as like the easiest thing.
Yeah,
it's not that easy. The arms are never long enough. The things are buried under the cushions, like you're mining for these hoops. And then I managed to push them so hard that I fell out of the car and took a chunk out of my leg on the side of my parents' car. And every time I use a car seat, I think, why are they so badly designed? Like, we could put a man on the moon. We could put a woman on if it wasn't for the patriarchy. And we can't design a car seat that doesn't make me hate my husband every time I go near it. And to take 20 minutes to install. Why is it so hard?
Yeah, what...
What other baby-centric equipment are you against?
I have never had one of these. But those machines that you put nappies in. Have you seen those? We have buy these things.
We don't have a machine. We have a nappy bin.
But is it a special... Does it, like, hermetically seal the nappies? Okay, tell me about this, because I've always thought that only crazy people would have this. And here I am.
All it does...
With you crazy people.
I can show you in a second. You put the nappy in, you twist it round, and it just creates a twist either side of the nappy in the bag.
To be fair... We bought that 3 years ago. We've maybe twisted it twice.
I twist it all the time.
Oh, when you empty it, you're supposed to make like sausages.
How do you dispose of nappies? What outside of this?
Well, not anymore. I don't have to do that anymore.
But if I was to shit in a nappy and give it to you, how would you dispose of it?
Just throw it right back in your face.
Friends and neighbours. I'm going to shit in a nappy.
I would just. Put it in a bag,
right,
and tie it up, and then put it in a bin.
Yes.
There's something about the machine that makes, I feel like, I've had a lot of people that I've been working with who are pregnant saying, do I need one of those, because isn't going to be really insanitary not to have one.
Right.
It's like the idea that you're not going to get shit on your hands as a parent. I've changed a nappy where it's been on my child's ears.
Yep.
I don't know how it got up there, but it did. I don't
think very funny.
How, but I also don't know how much these machines cost. If they're like £20, maybe it's.
I've got no idea.
I can't.
They look like Wally. No, they look like the. What's not Eve. Wally? Eve. They look like Eve from the film Wally.
Eve.
Yeah. So I like it for that reason.
It's a remnant of all the stuff that we bought before Herbie was born that we thought we needed.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, it's like you. It's like, this is. I felt like I had this experience when I was pregnant. That you feel like you have to buy everything in advance.
Yeah.
Because the shops won't exist anymore.
Yes.
That's it. Like, once the baby is out, there's no more shopping. Ever.
Yeah.
And the reality is, of course, that what you'll spend the next 2 months doing is buying stuff at 3 a.m. Used to stuff that you don't need because you want to try and make the baby sleep.
Yes.
So you're like, what, there's a sheep. It's not Shaun the Sheep. What's it?
You and the
Sheep. You and the Sheep. We've got two of those.
You and the Sheep, swaddle blankets, thing that wobbles, special noise making machine, light show.
Yeah,
you know.
Star projector.
So that's all the stuff you buy. So you could buy the other stuff. Mm. Like, there's hardly any stuff you need for a new newborn. So just don't buy it then. Buy it afterwards. And then when people are like, what can we get you? You say vouchers.
My brother-in-law, Pete Heritage, he and his girlfriend have an innovative innovative way of getting rid of nappies. They throw them out of the window.
What? Do they?
Yeah. Have you not seen the nappy bucket?
No.
It's positioned out underneath the baby window, the nursery window. They just pull up their nappies.
That's a very cheap thing to do.
Yeah.
That's ingenious. I quite like that.
Yeah. The bucket is next to the bin, but it was a bit strange where I went, what do I do this? And they're like, yeah, just chuck it out the window.
It feels a bit Edwardian. Not Edwardian, but like
old-timey. In medieval.
Yeah. London. Yeah, that's not Edwardian. I'm not good at history.
What was it?
Are you hungry, Rebecca?
Yeah. If any of the listeners are picking up any strange noises, it's just a birth. I'm doing some impressions of the noises that you might make during birth. It's not my stomach rumbling.
Oh, they're bad noises. All birth noises are... Because they're just extended poo noises, aren't they? Just like if you were trying to dislodge a poo from further up in your body.
Yeah.
That's the kind of noise you would make.
Yeah, it's a sort of efforty noise.
Yeah.
An efforty noise, yeah.
I don't like birth. I think it might be because I've not had good ones. But I'm not a fan. I'm not really a fan of removing large things from tight spaces, generally in life. Therefore,
I'm trying to think of other...
Yeah, me too.
Like, what?
Getting a suitcase out of a loft. That's the only...
Trying to insert or remove a car seat from a car.
Well, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, see how this circles back.
I see. Very good. Very good. I was really lucky and fortunate that I had, I think, definitely at the good end of the birth. Experience. Though my second one happened in 40 minutes, and I have a lot of empathy with what it feels like to have a very quick labour. The 8-hour one was really nice, like perfect length. 40 minutes, it's just too much going on.
Yeah.
40 minutes, really.
It's just a blast of information.
Yeah. I thought I was saying, this is awful, this is awful, this is awful out loud. And it turns out it didn't actually make its way out of my head. Just stayed in my head.
Oh no.
But it was nice immediately afterwards.
Did you call anyone a little bitch?
I didn't. Apparently I was struck completely dumb. Didn't say much apart from, don't leave this room, to Jared, who wanted to go outside and leave some keys so the midwife could get in, because he hilariously thought there was going to be time for the midwife to get here. I was like, no, there's no time here. There's no midwife going to be here. He was like, yes.
Rebecca's birth story is amazing. She delivered her own baby.
Just to say, though, it was me that delivered my baby, not my husband.
No.
Who gets all the credit.
Really?
You know, people say, oh, how was your husband? Well, he delivered the baby. It's like, no, he was there. He was great. He was fantastic. He did just have to sit there and watch me do all the work, though. And, you know, take a picture afterwards.
He was great at not leaving the room.
Fantastic and calm and wonderful. No, he did leave the room to hide the keys. I might have called him a little bitch then for something worse.
Do you know what the worst part of my birth was with Ned? She had to take 3 buses to get there. He told me this in the frozen.
I thought it was...
I was in such pain. I think, is that why I called you a little bit?
I know, well, you said, this isn't how... Because you just went for a checkup, and they were like, the baby's coming. But you phoned, and you went, oh, this isn't very good. Could you come? So I came. I got a bus. And then while I was on the bus, you went, I'm having a baby now! And I went, oh, should I get the bag? And you went, yeah! So I had to get off the bus, get on another bus. And then I got a taxi. And I thought it'd be like a hilarious counterpoint to the genuine pain that you were in, to be like, you'll never guess the journey. But all that irony was immediately lost the second I said it, because you were like, fuck you! How fucking dare you compare a bus? And you've stayed at that level. You really lost the ability to ascertain nuance.
Yeah.
When you were in labour.
Yeah, I don't think many women in labour have a lot of capacity for nuance. My husband said something when I was in labour with my daughter, and we'd been told that it would be really long and it could last for days, early labour, and we should try and sleep. Mm. So I was trying to sleep. I was going to have a baby about 4 hours later.
Right.
So it really was cracking on. But yeah. I'd been told it was going to take days. So I was in bed and I said to him, I think I'm really going to struggle to doze off here. I've got the TENS machine, electrocuting me every so often. I've got contractions coming about every 5 minutes by this point. I'm like, yeah, really feels like it's going to be hard to sleep. He was like, yeah. Do you mind if I do that?
He was probably thinking, I'm going to need to be useful in the future.
He was, and he was very useful. He's an excellent birth
partner. Did he doze off?
He did. He had a little sleep. He had a little sleep.
You slept during your first.
I was full of epidural.
I couldn't sleep.
No,
they don't put you in comfortable chairs.
No, but you kept telling me about the uncomfortable chairs.
Such bad chairs.
Sometimes, if you ask really nicely, if you've been there for about 48 hours, they will bring in a mat for you to sleep on the floor. Because I've slept on some floors in some.
Well, you must have done. So, if you would like to win a copy, a signed copy,
totally, or not signed, or if you prefer,
yes,
either way.
Of Rebecca's amazing book for yourself or a friend who looks like they might be pregnant or get pregnant soon or at some point.
Someone who looks like they might get pregnant soon.
Maybe don't give it to anyone you don't know very well because you think they should be having a baby.
Oh,
you
know, God.
Don't advocate that.
God.
Particularly if that person is your like daughter-in-law or anything like that. Just to be clear. Just save it until you're sure.
I have a friend who was coming up with ideas for International Women's Day stuff, and they had an idea of, this is a male friend, leave a book by a woman on the tube. Can you imagine?
Like how to defend yourself against stalkers, maybe.
And everyone was going, do you, like, you're reading a book, or you get a book out of your bag, and when it's your stop, you go up to a woman and put a book next to her and then leave. And he was like, no, I mean, leave a book written by a woman on the tube. So if you would like a copy of Rebecca's book, please tweet us at Naughty Step Pod and tell us about all the useless advice you've got about parenting, pregnancy, or birth. Just the worst thing that you've heard. And I guess Rebecca will choose the one that is the best.
I look forward to it. And if anyone wants to educate me about why nappy bins are great.
Yes, we want
to
hear all
your
nappy bin
more about that.
Testimonials.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Thank you.
It's been very, very fun. Thank you. And super professional, too.
How can we follow you on Twitter?
You just moved on like that. That was the hardest burn that you've ever got.
You can follow me on Twitter at Hackney Doula. I haven't lived in Hackney for a long time, though. And I have a website, rebeccashiller.co.uk, where you can find out about the book.
Amazing.
And other stuff.
And the book, again, is called Your No Guilt Pregnancy Plan. And you wrote one before, didn't you? What was that one?
I did. We should not talk about the content because it's very serious. It's called Why Human Rights in Childbirth Matter, and it's all about birth around the world and women's rights and feminism and birth. And it's very small. It's a very thin. It's a genuinely thin volume, not like your book, which is totally normal size. and it's got a whole load of fact sheets at the back about what your rights are in pregnancy and birth, so you can keep it in your pocket. And if you need to be like, oh, I just wonder what my human rights are today, what is Article 3? Is it the right to be free from inhuman and degrading treatment? Yes, it is. You can find that out. So, well, on that hilarious note,
thank you for coming on our podcast, Rebecca. We love you very much, and thank you for the eggs.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Stuart.
What?
You wrote a book.
Yes, I know. We talk about this every week.
What book did you write?
It's called Don't Be a Dick, Pete.
What format is it in?
In book form. Paperback form.
Yes. Can you buy it in the shops?
Well, that's a thorny subject. But it's available to buy.
Well, that's what I meant.
Okay.
Okay, and what's better than buying a book in a shop? Winning a book.
Oh, okay.
Through telling a funny anecdote, funny or disturbing anecdote, about sibling war. Because your book is to do with your relationship with your brother.
Mm-hmm.
We asked a bunch of our listeners to send us tales of their sibling dickery in order to win one of the copies of Stuart's book that's cluttering up our house.
Yes.
We've got three stories. Are you ready?
So, one story that I like very much from at Judge Raimondo. He says, hello both, my 9-year-old brother woke me up one lazy Sunday morning with a nice refreshing glass of milk. How kind, I thought, and gulped down a huge mouthful, and I was promptly sick everywhere. He'd actually given me a whole glass of Zoflora disinfectant.
Zoflora! Which, if you remember from the first episode, I gave Herbie to drink.
Oh, God, that's right! Oh, my God! Wow, you should start some sort of support group for terrible people, except it would be his brother and not him.
Oh, come and find us on Facebook, Judge Raimondo, if that's your real name. This is a bit next level. Next level, is that what people say now?
Shut up.
How many levels are there?
Shut up.
All right. This is from Leah Saruya. Saruya? On Instagram. She said, I was 11 or 12 and my brother 13. I had purchased some mostly unsuitable hair products and guarded them fiercely, as you do when you have siblings that like to steal your things. One was a pot of waxy style hair gel. What I imagined I would use it for, I don't know. My brother started periodically stealing it, which made me furious. I came up with one of my most inspired payback plans while helping to prepare dinner. My dad is a massive bird watcher and was keeping the spare fridge in the garage full of lard to make wintertime bird food. I took some lard, emptied the hair wax container of all its product, traced the shape of the container onto the block of lard, and cut it out with a knife. It fitted perfectly, and I scooped a bit out to make it look exactly like the amount of hair wax he'd used. The result was my brother walking around at school, hair slicked with lard for a whole month. I told my dad, and before I knew it, the whole family was in on the prank. Eventually, my mum caved in and told him. It still didn't stop him stealing my stuff, but it was one of the better punishments he got for doing it.
Hmm.
Well done. Well done? Well, or you're all sociopaths?
Hey, you're the antagonist in this story. Who wrote that?
Leah.
Leah, you're...
First of all, Leah, you've won a copy of Stu's book. Secondly, hair wax, is that for... I'm assuming you have long hair. I don't think that's the product for you. If your brother has short hair, that's probably a product for him.
Can I tell you where I've gone on all of these stories so far?
What?
The Zoflora, when he said he glugged down a mouthful, I immediately went to sperm.
What?
I thought that he'd spunked in a glass and drunk.
What? Sperm.
Second, that story you just read out.
You thought it was sperm.
I thought she put sperm. I don't know how. thinking about it. Don't know how, but I thought she put sperm. And then when she said her dad was a bird watcher, I thought bird shit.
But Leah, well done, I guess. Let us know if you would like a copy signed and what you would like it to say.
This is from A Bird on Wire from the Instagram. I don't know exactly what they'd done to infuriate me, but when I was about 12, I emptied a full tin of cat food into each of my younger brother's beds. I lifted up the duvet and scraped out the contents of each tin onto the sheets and covered it up like nothing had happened. Obviously, when they got into bed, they were given a lovely, meaty, gravy-coated surprise. Of course, the person who suffered most was my mother. She had to change and wash two sets of bedding and pyjamas.
Oh, God.
I think this might have been an early attempt at overthrowing the patriarchy, but it was clearly not the most effective method.
What is wrong with you?
That's right. Wasn't the question, what are the terrible things your sibling has done to you?
I said, tell us about your sibling tales.
Oh, okay.
Because I was casting the net wide, because I thought nobody listened to it. But now we've just got people writing in going, hello, I'm very evil.
Yeah, I've done terrible things. I wish to get them off my chest before I die.
You still win a copy of
Yeah, you
the
still
book.
Win it. You still win it. But
a
I mean,
bird on
I am going to buy a tin of cat food and smear it the pages with it. I promise.
If that had been me, if I'd been the mum, I would have just thrown everything out, including you.
You, yeah.
That's awful. That's awful. It's you should
bad.
Be ashamed of yourself and well done. Thank you for all the stories you've written to us with. They're all uniformly terrible.
Disgusting and terrible.
Children
I
awful.
Feel bad. I never want to meet any of you.
No.
And that's it for episode 21.
Yes. If you would like to... Legal age.
Yeah. 21.
You're not coming across that well in this podcast. You're just going, sperm, shit, legal age.
I'm so tired.
That's what every bad man says. We're apparently the book giveaway podcast now.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, isn't Rebecca Schiller nice?
Yes.
Secondly, if you would like a copy of her book, We want you to work for it. You need to write to us and tell us about the worst piece of parenting advice you have ever received. Tweet us at Naughty Step Pod. Yeah, that's it. We've did a proper podcast thing that wasn't just arguing with each other.
It's weird, isn't it?
We invited a third person into our argument.
Makes it easier.
Yeah.
Logistically, much more difficult.
If you'd like to come on and carry the podcast, let us know.
If you want to just take the domain name and just do it for us.
You don't have a domain name.
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Know.
Stuart's going to get some sleep. And so should you.
Yes. Get some sleep, me.
See you next week, everyone else.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.